Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And off we go into the 10 o'clock hour, 9:09 now. And I noticed on Twitter earlier that Thomas Moore, Thomas, thinking of Sir Thomas Moore, Thomas Moorhead tweeted that he was looking for a flag football team for his son because apparently there's a waiting list or something. We met him Super Bowl week, and he is just a tremendously nice man. He tweeted, "My son Beckett got waitlisted for FNA flag football. He really wants to play. Anyone playing LaSalle, Uptown, or City Park with an open roster spot. He's currently 9 years old. Thanks. I guess it's first come, first served, and you want to give everybody an equal chance. But passing on Thomas Morstead's son? Really? I wouldn't do it." Speaking of kids and sports, Xavier Thompson joins us now, an assistant professor at the LSU School of Kinesiology, a leading expert in sports medicine. Good morning. I guess it's Dr. Thompson, and it doesn't tell me here, but I would.
Good morning.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes, it is.
You an orthopedist?
No, so I have a PhD in kinesiology.
So that would be akin to a physical therapist or not?
Not really. Not exactly. So I am an athletic trainer by trade, actually. So There's a little bit of overlap, but our skill sets are a little different. So physical therapists, some work in sports, but they work in geriatrics too, whereas athletic trainers, we typically work with active individuals, whether that's your typical athlete, military setting, but we work in acute injury care, rehab, and pretty much we're the hub of the wheel when it comes to sports medicine.
I wasn't trying to cross-examine you. I didn't have the information. I was just wondering. You're a leading expert in sports medicine at LSU. Let's put it that way. So, you know, I mentioned Thomas Morstead's son looking for a place to play flag football. He tweeted that. So many kids are involved in baseball and soccer, and now a lot of sports go year-round, basketball. What is going on with ACL and young people? And I guess specifically female athletes seem to be at a higher risk. At least yeah. I knew that was – traditionally I knew female athletes were at a higher risk of ACL tears and also a higher risk of concussions. They were the most dangerous sport was girls soccer, right?
Yeah, so soccer is a big one. Cheerleading too, to be honest. Most people don't think of it, but, you know, you're getting thrown in the air and can be pretty violent.
And catching too, I guess, right?
Yeah, got to be caught. A lot of it, like you said, is you got kids going year-round and sometimes in the same sport, doing the same thing over and over and over again. So they're not really developing like we used to back in the day where we had a lot of different movements. So we kind of learned how to adapt in different settings. And, yeah, women are 2 to 8 times as likely as men to tear their ACL.
Why is that?
So some of it is, you know, differences in how their pelvises are shaped, particularly post-puberty, but some of it's also just exposure to training. The infrastructure for women's sports is growing more and more, but it's not necessarily the same place as it is with our powerhouse sports like football, basketball, and baseball in the same way as it has been for men for far longer. So the training hasn't been as great historically, but it's definitely on its way up. And we're really looking into things like that, differences in hormones, biology, sleep, all of it.
When it comes to kids in participation in sports, I don't know if it matters whether it's girl or boy, but it seems like a lot of people, and I noticed this just at the driving range on the golf course, Xavier, and that's people got their kids out there because everybody now is looking for a golf scholarship for the kids.
Yeah.
And it's a fact. And I don't know if the same thing is happening in baseball, football, basketball, soccer, et cetera.
Yeah.
But even sometimes that means kids have personal trainers. That means they never have any time off. And I'm just wondering if that's a factor in adding to ACL tears and all that, where there's just not enough rest or not enough time off.
Yeah. I mean, you're spot on. And I think more and more we see that search for the elusive athletic scholarship, or, you know, and not necessarily coming from a bad place. We all want the best for our kids. I have kids, but we get so focused sometimes on being, you know, a baseball player, a basketball player. And like you said, we got a personal trainer, and that's all we do year round. We get burnt out. We get focused on being that one thing, and we don't necessarily, we develop, I'd say, kids with Ferrari engines, but we don't necessarily give them the infrastructure to be able to use that in the right way. Whereas before it was, hey, play a little bit of this, play a little bit of that, be a kid, just go to the playground, or maybe take some time off and rest.
How hard is it? And I've had two knee replacements and had numerous knee surgeries before that and went through the rehab process for all of that. How is it different for a kid than an adult?
Great. So kids aren't little adults. And I think we lose sight of that because we know so much of what to do. And we exercise. We should do this. We should do that. They're still growing and developing their bones, their ligaments, their tendons. So there's going to be, you know, literal growing pains, but also figurative ones where we have to let them figure out their coordination. And we also have to make sure they enjoy what they're doing. And for us, sometimes it's, you know what, I'm not pushing myself hard enough, but we're physically mature. We can kind of push through. Sometimes that check engine light for a kid is a little different, where their body's telling you like, hey, we need to back up, because yes, they recover faster, you know, in certain ways, but they're also not as resilient in others, and that's by design.
I've seen, you know, having been to numerous physical therapy sessions with all the knee troubles, thankfully all that, knock wood, is all behind me, but it amazed me to see the young kids that were there in all different sports. And I don't know, you know, I didn't even know about physical therapy until I was an adult and started tearing, I realized that I had torn my knees up, but Is that a new thing? With are more and more kids going to physical therapy than ever before? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but there is a cause and effect relationship there, right?
Yes, and I think part of it, and I've worked in physical therapy clinic before, I think sometimes you see kids who they're there because they're not active at all. And I think that is just, you know, generational change, where we have kids who are inside all the time, iPads, and we have the other extreme where we have kids who are too active all the time. You know, if we put it on a bell curve, there is a happy medium. And, you know, if your kid isn't active at all and they're having pains or they're having trouble moving, depending on what's going on, that might be a way to go. And I've seen that. But also, if your kid is playing tennis, you know, 12 months a year and their elbow hurts, we also see that extreme as well.
I was talking earlier about taking a lot of ibuprofen because, you know, I'm not 30 years old, Doc. Let's just leave it at that. And I love to work out. I love to hit the elliptical machine. But, man, there are a lot of aches and pains, a lot of numbness in the hands from pinched nerves, these kind of things. But I'm an older guy, so I accept that. But when it comes to kids, once they tear an ACL, how prone are they? Because you got to look beyond being a kid, right? Because not everybody's going to be a professional athlete. Even if you go to college on a scholarship, you're not going to be a professional athlete. How concerned are you, as one of the leading experts in sports medicine at LSU, that we're raising a generation of kids, or a generation of kids is being raised, that are going to suffer for the rest of their life with a lot of physical conditions? They're charging up the physical credit card tab now, and they're going to pay for it later. How concerned are you about that?
Oh, Very, very. And that was one of my big concerns when I worked clinically. That's one of my big concerns now. If you tear your ACL and you stay active, more than 20%, more than one out of every five people are going to do it again. And every time you do that, I mean, we've already talked about the hard recovery process. You're looking at quite a bit of time away from your sport or whatever it is you care about, even if it's not sport, you know, just being active, feeling normal. And honestly, it also accelerates the rate of osteoarthritis. So you're looking at kids who are relatively healthy, young people who 5 years later, we're already putting them at risk for having arthritis of their knees, where otherwise, you know, you'd expect them to have a normal, healthy 20, 25, 30-year-old knee.
So you're talking about a 30-year-old with arthritis is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Like Fred Sanford with his arthritis, but Fred Sanford was 67 years old.
Exactly. And, you know, like you said, we're putting them at risk for, you know, lifelong issues if we don't address this issue.
Somebody texted in, my daughter is a 16, 17-year-old teammate, tore her ACL last season, doesn't say what sport. I got her repaired and rehabbed very well. 1 or 2 months back into playing fully, she has re-torn the same ACL. So hard for these athletes to deal with this at high school age. There is, yeah. If you tear your ACL, there is a high likelihood, as you just said, that you're going to tear it again?
Yes, there is. And injury prevention is one of the strangest things in the field because, you know, how do you successfully prove that you prevented someone from tearing, mm-hmm. from having an injury? But rehab is getting better and better. I think the thing that I've always preached to my athletes and people I work with is a little bit of patience. So I think we saw, you know, back in the day, moving into the early 2010s, we got to this place where it's like, accelerate the rehab, accelerate the rehab, accelerate the rehab. And my message is always like, hey, let's do it right. And that doesn't mean it might not be relatively fast, but, you know, let's make sure we do it right. And it's complicated. You know, you got to get strong. You essentially have to reteach your knee how to move. And to be honest, I think the biggest thing people don't realize is once you hurt your knee or really any joint, you have to reteach your brain how to use the muscle and that joint, and it's a complicated process.
Let's pick it up there when we come back, Doctor, okay, and we'll compare and contrast young people with adults. We're talking to Dr. Xavier Thompson. He's a leading expert in sports medicine at LSU, and we're talking about ACL injuries. And matter of fact, somebody texted in about what's the ACL. We'll talk about that. The MCL, also about meniscus tears, or as other people refer to it, torn cartilages. And when it comes to cartilage, I don't think people realize that when you tear a cartilage as it stands now, and you can correct me when we come back if I'm wrong, they don't cure anything. They just go in and cut out the bad part. Unless anything's changed, I think that's where we are. If you have any questions or comments about knee injuries, young people, athletes, elbows, shoulders, etc., Dr. Xavier Thompson's here. Text your questions in to 504-260-1870. That is the Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text line. And I should tell you, I believe, after my training yesterday, that message and data rates may apply, and don't text and drive. So there you go. We'll be back in a flash, WWL. Talking to Dr. Xavier Thompson, a leading expert in sports medicine at LSU. We're talking about kids and not having enough time off playing sports year-round. ACL injuries, and somebody texted in about their daughter's teammate, soccer player, tore the ACL and then retore it this year. We talked about females being more prone to torn ACLs for a couple of different reasons. And, doctor, I just wanted to go quickly into MCL, mm-hmm. ACL, and meniscus. I said earlier that when it comes to meniscus, a torn cartilage, they don't fix it. They just cut the bad part out. Is that accurate?
Most of the time, yeah. For a meniscus, if they also tore their ACL, depending on where their tear is, if you have time, they might try to fix it. But those are the two primary options. But other cartilage, no. They usually just take it out.
And that means what, long term?
Long term, essentially you're removing that cushion from your knee, which is probably going to, you know, lead to some pains long term, some arthritis, and potentially, yeah, not be great for you.
So you are leading expert sports medicine at LSU. You have kids. You're a parent. What would you advise parents when it comes to kids if they're either trying to live out their own dreams through their kids, they want the best for their kids? Look, I played high school football, got the bejeebers knocked out of me because I was a tackling dummy, but I still learned some lessons from it. What would you tell parents the best way to manage their kids' sports, I won't say career, because you don't want to be a career at their age, but their sports activities, Doc?
I'd say, you know, take a deep breath. Be patient. I think right now we're all so focused on going fast and looking around and trying to get here and there. And I've worked with professional athletes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And funny enough, those are usually the ones who didn't take it too seriously as kids, the ones who found the joy, got the opportunities to just play, grow, learn, and more and more of the research on actual, you know, pro athletes from around the world is showing most of them, honestly, weren't the ones who were pushed really hard by their parents. It's normally that internal drive who were just kind of allowed to grow and explore. Keep them active, keep them healthy, and, you know, just try to guide them down the path.
I think part of it, too, is some people, not you can't work your way into being a professional athlete. It's nice to think that, but a professional athletic ability is something I believe you're born with or you aren't. Now, you can develop that, but I don't think you're going to make anybody into a professional athlete. Accurate?
Well, yeah, I mean, great point. And that hit me in college. And, you know, I was one of those, I'm working really hard. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends pointed out an athlete we were working with, and he said, Xavier, he's 6'4", running a 4.4 and 225 pounds. I was never going to be there.
Right.
And that was an eye-opener, like you said. I mean, there is a big genetic component, and, you know, it hurts because you want to believe you work hard, you can do anything. And you can do a lot of things if you work hard, and I think you can maximize your specific ability. But, you know, don't get so caught up in, I need to make a pro athlete, that you lose the joy of the process and just letting them have fun doing what they enjoy, whether that's sports or not.
And along those lines, I should say, you know, I once arm wrestled a guy that was not really big or muscular or anything, but it was one of these guys that just, I say they have muscles that are made of steel, like steel cable. They're just naturally strong. My arm was sore for a year because I don't have muscles that are made of steel cable. Some people are built differently and are less prone to injury, right? So if you try to force the funk or fake whatever, it's you could be leading to more serious injuries for your kid when they're not actually physically inclined to tolerate that kind of activity. Accurate or not?
Exactly. Accurate. And you know what? And sometimes it's just they're not ready right now. You know, your 5-year-old isn't a 7-year-old, isn't a 12-year-old. Sometimes you just have to recognize where they are developmentally and take a step back. Even if that kid was is, you know, genetically gifted and going to be an amazing pro athlete, they are still a kid.
Doctor, I appreciate your time and your insight. I hope you come back sometime because I could talk to you about this hours, okay?
I appreciate you having me. I love the opportunity.
Thank you, sir, because I think it's important. I think a lot of people, and I just see it, you know, I don't have kids at soccer or anything like that. I don't see that, but I do go to driving range, and it seems like, man, every afternoon they got kids, parents dragging their kids out there and pushing them, hoping for a college scholarship, and I see it all the time, and I don't know that you can tear anything up playing golf, but I would imagine the same thing is going on in other sports. Dr. Xavier Thompson, leading expert sports medicine at LSU. If you missed any of it, you can download the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature, or go to WWL.com, click on my name. But don't do it now, because we're going to talk about tariffs with professor of economics at Boston University when we come back. Right now, time for traffic on WWL. It is 9:40, 20 till 10, and a lot of time. First of all, I kind of chuckle when I hear people all excited and breathless about the stock market opening here or up or down, because yesterday, happy days are here again, until around mid-afternoon, then the market finished down again. We always also confuse and conflate sometimes terms that we hear and use them interchangeably when maybe that's not necessarily the case, and we might be mistaken in the way we use them. And specifically, we're talking about trade deficit, whether that's necessarily a negative thing as it relates to tariffs or not. And our guest is Tarek Hassan, professor of economics at Boston University. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Let's talk about trade deficits and trade surpluses and their relations to tariffs, and jump in where you feel comfortable on this big, long question, because a lot of times we think that trade deficit, that's not good, but that's not necessarily the case economically, is it?
Yeah, not at all. So at a basic level, it just means we're getting more stuff from abroad than we're sending abroad. That sounds maybe not so bad, right? So we're getting more things from the world. It's sort of a poorly named concept. Essentially, the way that you figure a trade deficit is actually the exact opposite of an investment surplus. So the only way...
Yeah, go slow here, Doc. Hang on a second. Go slow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So The only way for us to have a trade deficit is to have an investment surplus. And those are actually the same things. So what that means is that the only way for us to get all these extra goods from abroad, that's happening because foreigners are investing a lot more in the U.S. than we are investing abroad.
But now, wait, now, explain that to me, because people hear what you say and they say, no, that's not true. If foreign companies are investing in the United States and manufacturing products abroad and we're bringing them in, so that's not investment. Explain that, if you will, please.
So, in the U.S., we are kind of exceptional because we have kind of the most stable currency in the world, the U.S. dollar, and we are kind of the incubator of companies for the entire world. So people come to the U.S. to start their companies, foreigners, like Elon Musk is a great example of this. He was born in South Africa, came to the U.S. to start his company. So then it's only natural that foreigners who started the companies in the U.S. are also buying shares in these companies. So investment is flowing into the U.S. at a very high rate. And because that is happening, we can take that money that we're getting from abroad and buy more goods with it. So these are actually the same things. It makes no sense to say we want a trade deficit and we also want foreigners to invest in the U.S. That's not how it works. So either you have foreigners investing in the U.S., then you have a trade. That means or you have a trade surplus. You can't have both at the same time.
So when it comes to the argument that people want everything manufactured here and we should import nothing, economically, you would respond to that how?
I mean, that is a very dangerous thing. Because, you know, we are a small part of the world economy. We're 15% of the world economy. If we were to wall ourselves off from the rest of the world, we would just get poorer. You just saw this with Brexit. The Brits kind of tried it, and it cost them like 6% of their national income. So that's a very dangerous idea. I think the problem is that we're conflating two things that are not directly connected. One is the trade deficit, and the other is manufacturing. These two things, you know, tariffs are not like a magical way for bringing manufacturing back. The reason manufacturing disappears is largely technological. There's been a lot of technological progress in how to make things, and you just need fewer people for that now. What's happening with all the capital inflows that we're having? So what's happened? So what the trade deficit is doing is it's bringing a lot of foreign money into the U.S. and that's going into all kinds of branches of the economy, and not necessarily manufacturing. So the reason we have low interest rates compared to the rest of the world is because we're importing so much capital, because there's so much investment from abroad in the U.S. They're just not investing in manufacturing. They're investing in other things.
I'm sorry. I think I heard the president say yesterday or his spokesperson that tariffs have already brought $2 billion into the country, into the Treasury. And look, McKinley started tariffs as a revenue-raising measure, not about production or manufacturing or anything else. He did it because it was, in essence, a glorified sales tax, right?
Yeah, it's a sales tax, but, you know, sort of we teach our undergrads that there's different ways of taxing, and some are more damaging than others. Tariffs are a very damaging way of taxing the consumer, as we're all about to find out. You know, wait a couple of weeks and then go to Walmart and see what happened to prices there. Essentially, everything that you see in Walmart is basically being blanketed, everything except the food is being blanketed with massive tariffs. So you're going to see prices of these things going up. Now, I'm not sure we want to finance the U.S. government with taxes specifically on goods that are purchased by low-income people. Yeah, that's essentially what's being proposed here. And in fact, you know, the reason 150 years ago, the federal government was financing itself with tariffs is because it was unable to do anything else. Mm-hmm. As soon as it learned to do income taxation, it did income taxation. There's a reason for this, because it's a much fairer way of financing the government.
Leaving politics out of it, compare and contrast, if you will, the state of the world economy when McKinley had tariffs and today's economy. And I only use McKinley as a reference, a historical reference. I'm not making it about politics or personalities or party or anything else. I'm just talking about the economics of it, the world economy, how it's different from back in that day.
So here's the big difference. So it used to be that the only thing that you would ship would be basically a finished product, more or less, mm-hmm. right? Now, U.S. manufacturing relies very strongly on imported inputs. So if you wanted to really bring back manufacturing, you wouldn't tax the import of things that you need to make things. So two-thirds of our imports are you know, things that we need to build U.S. manufactured goods. So so two-thirds of what we import, like, is needed to make other things. So what you're doing by putting these tariffs up is you're damaging U.S. manufacturing, far from helping it. And that's why you see the stock prices of all these manufacturing firms going down. I mean, this is really done in, like, the dumbest possible way. This is politics aside.
No, I understand that.
It's not political.
Yeah. I hear you. It's counterintuitive, and some people are going to hear it politically, and I don't want them to, because we're just trying to establish what's real, what's not here. So you're saying what's manufactured here, two-thirds of the materials used are imported. So if anything...
two-thirds of imports. So about 10% of GDP is just, like, stuff that we bring in to, like, put into cars that we're assembling here, or into washing machines that we're assembling here, or into computer screens that we're assembling here, right? So if you now kind of tell U.S. manufacturers, you have to compete in the world market, but we're tying both arms behind your back by saying you are not allowed to use anything from abroad, well, that's a competitive disadvantage. And we're going to see this in prices of U.S. manufactured goods going up as well.
I like to bring the audience into it. Somebody texted in and said, doesn't make sense. I thought selling your products worldwide was the target. Selling goods equates to income. Am I right? So it's a good thing that America takes in global products at a much higher rate than what America sells. Got it. I guess they're agreeing with you there?
I would say yes, because we're, like, it's not like we're, so we're very good as an economy in sort of producing what I would call financial assets. Mm-hmm. So that means, for many different reasons, foreigners are very, glad to either invest directly into U.S. by buying stocks or kind of starting companies, or buying debt of U.S. consumers and U.S. companies. So basically what the trade deficit is doing is it's lowering interest rates for all of us.
Let me ask you this. Usually, and I know the car business, having done so many remotes there in radio, usually the best salesman in the place is the finance guy. And I'm just wondering if maybe that's what you're saying, where an equivalency would be. The U.S. makes its money in the currency and in the financing, not in the production of products necessarily. Is that what we're saying?
Exactly. Okay. So, you know, manufacturing is about 12% of the U.S. economy. So most people who have jobs in the U.S. are actually not manufacturing stuff. They're doing other things. Mm-hmm. And we are just better at those other things. One of those other things that we're much better at is, like, just having a reliable government and a reliable framework where, like, you don't need to worry that, like, people are going to you invest money somewhere and then they kind of say, oh, it's not yours anymore. So we provide, like, safe assets for the world. Yes. And a lot of that is banking. I agree with that. So we're kind of the banker for the world in some sense.
So somebody wants to know, how do we reduce the ties of production to foreign adversaries? How do we become self-reliant? Is that a practical consideration in a world economy that we have today?
So it is practical. I just want to emphasize that it's very costly. So it might not feel like it, but the U.S. economy has actually grown tremendously compared to other countries in the last 20 years. Like, we've pulled way ahead of Europe. We're the richest country in the world by a long stretch. And, part of the reason we are so rich is because we take stuff from all over the world, ideas, inputs, physical things and ideas, and we put them together in different ways. And then we sell it back to the world. That's essentially what I would describe the U.S. economy as doing. Now, if you want to be self-sufficient, you're cutting all of that off, and that's a large chunk of our wealth. So, yes, maybe we want to be self-sufficient on a few things that we need for defense. And I think that's fine. Then you need to talk about sort of tariffs on very specific things, like, maybe semiconductors or, tariffs. I mean, you're not allowed to export like bombs to whoever you want anyway. So we're doing like that's been the practice for a long time.
Professor, let me get this in real quick before we run out of time. Yeah, and that is, can I infer from what you're saying that with the tariffs and if we have to pay higher labor costs in the United States to produce stuff, that in essence this could lead to manufacturers that are currently producing stuff in the United States to take their business offshore?
Or just shutting down. I think that's the bigger thing. Like, so car manufacturers in Detroit, the Detroit area, have already laid off people for the very simple reason that the reason these plants are competitive is because they get some of their inputs from Canada. And now these inputs have become more expensive and they're just not making the cars. And that means that the cars that are getting made are going to get more expensive and people are going to buy fewer cars. The economy is not a zero-sum game, right? So a lot of this discussion is like, oh, are we going to make the car here or are we going to make it in Mexico? Well, what we're going to end up with is we're just going to make fewer cars in the world, period. And that's just another way of saying we're getting poorer. So people have done the math. Like, essentially, the impact of all these tariffs on the U.S. economy will be making all of us 4% poorer. So, and you're going to see that in inflation going up. So we're going to get inflation of prices are going to go up and wages not.
Professor, I appreciate your time. I hope we talk to you again in a couple of weeks when some of this starts to hit, all right?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Tarek Hassan, professor of economics at Boston University, 954, 6 till 10. Quick break, then we'll find out what Newell Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.